Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nachyomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shira Shaiwitz, and today we'll be learning Yeshayahu Perek Yudalit, Chapter 14. Now, Perek Yudalit is the second of the group of prakim that are called the Masa'ot, which are prakim that are Jewish prophets, in this case it's Yeshayahu, speaking about other nations. Now, Perek Yud Gimel and Perek Yudalit are a unit because they're both Masa'ot to Babel, to Babylonia. And they prophesy how Babel will ultimately receive their comeuppance and they'll be destroyed in a cosmic battle by other nations. And Perek Yudalit, which we're going to talk about today, talks specifically about Melech Babel, the king of Babel. Now, yesterday we raised two questions. I want to go back to them, and then we'll spend some time on the Prakim. So the first question we raised was, what's the purpose of these oracles if they were never heard or read by the other nations, certainly most of them? And the second question we raised yesterday was why this nevuah was directed towards Babel if the superpower at the time was Assyria. Okay, so let's start by delving into these psukim, and then we'll come back to these questions. Now, while the bulk of the psukim are directed against Babel, the first two psukim are actually spoken towards the Jewish people, toward us. Let's start with looking at these first two psukim. So Pasuk Aleph begins, Ki rachem Adonai et Yaakov ubachar od b'Yisrael v'henicham al atmatam v'noveh hager alehem v'nisbechu al beit Yaakov. Meaning this, all of this, remember this is connected to the parak before, so all of this, the punishment and the war against Babel will occur when Hashem has rachamim again on Yaakov, and he once again chooses us and brings us back to our land. And when he brings us back to our land, he's going to, other geirim, right, will join us, presumably people who convert and come along and join us, and they'll be included as part of Beit Yaakov. And Pasuk Bet continues this idea, but with a little bit of a different spin, and says, V'lekachum amim, v'habiyum el mekomam, v'itnachalum Beit Yisrael al admat Adonai la'avadim u'lishvachot, v'hayu shovim l'shovehem, v'radu b'nogseihem. Meaning here, we're not talking necessarily about, we're not talking about the converts, but here, when we go back, there will also be the people who used to be our captors, right now, and we used to serve them, now they will serve us. And actually, Amos Chacham, who wrote the really beautiful commentary to Yeshayahu in the Dat Mikra set, he explains that these are really two different groups. So when we, at that point, when we come back to Israel and we receive kind of that comfort and the re-welcoming, then there will be Geirei Tzedek, right? Like true converts who come along with us. Kind of like post Mitzrayim when we left Egypt, and there were others who came along with us who were moved by what happened and decided to join on with the Jewish nation. But then the second pasuk is talking about really the people who oppressed us, and here it's talking about a punishment for those who kind of did all these terrible things, and there will be a restoration of justice, and they'll get back kind of what they did to us. Okay, so the next big chunk here is Psukim Gimel until Chaf Gimel. And these Psukim turn towards the king of Babel, and there's a specific song almost that will be sung at his death. And that's because this is a king, the king of Babylonia was a king who terrorized many nations, not just Israel. And he will now be neutralized and also will die his disgraceful death with no continuity. So the first reaction that the nations have is relief and even a joy that this terrorizing figure is no longer. But the other reaction that the nations of the world will have to the death of this king of Babylonia is shock. So I want to read a few psukim, beginning with Pasuk Yud, that speak about this shock. Kulam ya'anu v'yomru alecha, gamata. Gamata chulita kamonu elenu nimshalta. So people, the shock will be, others will say, wow, you, the king of Babylonia, you're just like us, right? You became just one of us. And just like we die, right? Here too, you also die. And this king in Yud Gimel, it contrasts kind of how the king of Babylonia used to carry himself. And says, Va'ata amarta, but what did you say, Bilvavecha? Like you always, Bilvavecha, you always said, Hashamayim ala mima'al, kochvei el, arim kisi, va'eshev bahar mo'ed biyarketei tzafun. So the king of Babylonia, you always said, I'll ascend to the sky, I'll be higher than the stars, I'll set my stature along with God, I'm the summit of tzafun. A'ale albamati av, admele elyon, right? I'll mount the back of a cloud, I'll match up with the most high things. But what actually happened to you, king of Babylonia? Ach el Sha'ul turad el yarketei bor. But here you fell down to the to Sha'ul, to the underworld, and to the bottoms of the pit. And ro'echa, therefore, ro'echa alecha yashkicho alecha yitbonenu. So therefore, people will look at you, and they'll kind of like try to figure this out. Hazeh ha'ish, Margiz Haaretz, Marish Mamachot, was this really the man who shook the earth? Is this the person who made all of the realms tremble? So, and what else did he do? It continues, Sam Tevel Kamidbar, Ba'arav Haras, Asirav Lopatach Baita. He made, the king of Babylonia made the world into a waste, wrecked the towns, never released any of the prisoners to go back to their homes. And now look what has happened. And there's actually one more pasuk, a few pasukim later, that also talks about lo techad itam bakfura, you won't have a burial. Like a king usually gets such a dignified and graceful burial. And here, you, king of Babylonia, won't receive that kind of burial. Why? Ki artzacha shichata, amcha haragta, because you destroyed your country and you murdered your own people. After these 20 psukim that speak about the death of the king of Babylonia, then psukim chaf dalet through chaf zayin turn back to Ashur, to Assyria, and Hashem promises the downfall of Assyria as well. So, coming back to our questions, so why the switch to Assyria, right? The past two prekim, Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet, the bulk of them spoke about Babylonia, first the country and then the king. Why these last few psukim, which are now talking about Assyria? And then also, why Babylonia altogether? It would actually make sense if all of this was directed towards Assyria. Babylonia is a later country. It was in Babylonia at that time when Yeshayahu is prophesying, was a nothing. It's only in the next century that they're going to arise. So, Shadal suggests a very beautiful answer. And he says that Nevi'im, something to know about Nevi'im in general, is that Nevi'im speak not only about their time period, but also about the future. And these Nivuot like this, a Nivuah about Babylonia, was likely written and not delivered. And if it was perhaps delivered, then maybe, I think this one, Amos Chacham suggests, that if it was delivered, then maybe the name Babylonia was left out of it, and it was kind of left ambiguous as this big Yom Hashem that will happen to these nations that are oppressing us. But likely these Nevuot maybe were written down but never delivered at all, not to these nations and not to Israel at the time. They were meant for later. Now, the Navi in some senses, and I think we've kind of seen this a little bit as we've gone through these Prakim, the Navi stands above their own specific time, and they look at the world with the world view, trying to understand almost Hashem's master plan in the world that's not only attached to their particular time period. So it makes sense that in taking the long view, Yeshayahu would speak about Babylonia, who will rise in the next century, defeat Assyria, and ultimately destroy the Beit HaMikdash and exile the Jewish people. However, this also explains a shift to Assyria at the end, because the Navi, when we think about this, that the Navi is taking the long view, there's what Yeshayahu is highlighting is that there's a symmetry to what will happen to Babylonia and also to Assyria. Both were superpowers. Both viewed themselves as having divine powers. Both were also particularly dominant and cruel empires. And both Assyria, first Assyria, and then Babylonia, would suffer defeat and ultimately lose their power. So this melding almost of the fate of Babylonia and the fate of Assyria makes sense for a prophet like Yeshayahu, who's taking the long view and looking for the congruence between the way that God's hand works throughout history. Now, going back to our original question of what is actually the purpose of these masaot, these oracles directed towards the other nation, yesterday we spoke about the goal of us seeing Hashem's hand in historical events and how these oracles may direct us to that. And I would say that this is really like a theological and intellectual imperative. But in this parak, the specific sections directed towards Israel, remember we began with a specific section directed to specifically to Israel, suggests something else, that these nevuot were also said to provide comfort to B'nai Israel, right? And maybe this would mean that they did actually hear it or read it at their times. Because right now, in the short view, all the people of Yeshayahu's time saw was subjugation. And ultimately, though, what Yeshayahu is prophesying is that there will be a restoration of tzedek, of justice. The oppressors will be punished, and Israel, along with other nations, will be ultimately returned to their land. And in light of this, that fluctuation still makes a lot of sense. Yeshayahu's goal is not just about the here and now and the current problems. It's a reassurance that's meaningful for all generations. And I think this also explains why a lot of the language in this parak evokes Yitziat Mitzrayim, our exodus from Egypt, such as it talks about the idea of slavery, the language of Zroa Netuya, that Hashem's hand is outstretched, right, against these nations, and that was the same language that was used in Yitziat Mitzrayim. Hashem's hand was outstretched in order to save us. Even the language of Noges, which is the oppressor, appears a few times, and that's language also of Egypt and the slavery of Egypt. And I think this flashback to the past, right, most of this is about the future, but this particular flashback to the past of our exodus from Egypt is to encourage us to take hope from the past. And just as justice was restored then, here too, ultimately justice will be restored, and there will be a return and a comfort. So once again, Yeshayahu the Navi points us to look toward the long view. Thank you for studying together. Le'iloi Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.